Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. This is a reaction quick podcast as we are slated to have another episode out later on this week. But I wanted to get on and talk with you all about the Bengals acquisition of Lyle Collins, the news breaking on Sunday afternoon. So, of course, we had to have a Bengals Beat Podcast episode dedicated to this move because it's so huge. It's huge for a number of reasons, and I will try and break down why. I'm Kelsey Conway, your host. And as I mentioned, the Bengals' first wave of free agency is now complete, and they completed it with a marquee signing of Lyle Collins, making sure he came to Cincinnati later on in the week last week, and he didn't leave without a deal. The Bengals agreed to a 3-year deal with Collins, and the details of the contract came out today. It's closer to a 2-year deal worth $20 million, so about $10 million a year for Collins. The third year is more for a prorated reason to spread out the cap charge for the Bengals. As we know, they try to be very cap cognizant of what they're spending. And they were able to get this deal done with Collins for a couple of reasons. So here's the backstory. We have not yet been able to talk to Collins. That's hopefully coming in the next couple of days. But from what we've heard from different reporters and Collins himself, is here's a couple of reasons why this deal was able to get done. The Cowboys had started some talks about shopping Collins right before free agency started. And the first reaction was, of course, the Bengals would be interested in a trade for Collins because they needed a right tackle. Collins is very good. And he also has ties to the Bengals offensive line coach, Frank Pollock, who coached Collins as the offensive line coach of the Cowboys from 2015 to 2017. Then trades didn't happen, and the Bengals released Collins within the first couple of days of free agency. This then allowed the Bengals to bring Collins to Cincinnati for a visit, and they were able to acquire a starting right tackle of Collins' caliber without having to give up any draft picks, which is huge and probably the biggest applause given to this Bengals front office for the fact that they were able to get this done without having to lose picks in the process. The other part of this, and it's worth talking about for a couple minutes here, is the Joe Burrow effect. Collins went to LSU and said he was in the locker room when Joe Burrow and that historic LSU season happened. And he said, I partied with Joe Burrow and celebrated with Joe Burrow in the locker room after the game. And as we've seen around the league, whether it be Odell, Jarvis, Ja'Marr Chase, a couple of the other stars for the LSU Tigers program, they kind of stick together. They might have not played together at LSU, but there seems to be if you went to LSU, an immediate comfort and liking to a person that's obviously a fellow LSU Tiger. Well, in this case, it worked out for the Bengals because Joe Burrow got involved. He was in Cincinnati the first week of free agency, and on Thursday night, St. Patrick's Day night, there was a dinner planned at Jeff Ruby's The Precinct, and Collins wasn't there. He had just flown into Cincinnati on Thursday, so he wasn't there. But the dinner was with, reportedly, Zach Taylor, Alex Kappa, Ted Karras, and Joe Burrow. The new Bengals offensive lineman said they ordered steak burrows, and Joe Burrow was sitting there, and they had a nice meal. Burrow got to know his two offensive linemen, and that kind of set the table for what was going to come in the next 24 hours. The following day, on Friday night, after a day of a visit to Paul Brown Stadium, Collins was invited over to Joe Burrow's house with Kappa and Karras and Joe Burrow. We don't know what was said in those meetings. We'll find out from Collins the minute we get to talk to him. But basically, you can assume that the plan was set, that those, not just Joe Burrow, but Collins being able to talk with Kappa and Karras, it was the reason why he wanted to sign here in addition to wanting to play for Frank Pollock again. First couple of quotes from Collins that were made available from the Bengals team site was that he can't speak more highly of Frank Pollock, who is a huge piece of this, because I think the Bengals and Zach Taylor bringing him back to Cincinnati last year was huge and could be huge for the way this team moves forward. Because now, with the acquisition of Collins, Kappa, Karras, and having Jonah Williams in place, we'll see what happens at left guard. But you're now looking at a position of strength for the Bengals that went from being a position that was their Achilles heel just a year ago. So the Bengals not only just attacked their biggest weakness in the offseason, but they attacked it with premier players. So you got to give a round of applause to Duke Tobin and Zach Taylor and Duke Tobin's whole front office staff. And I think this is a bigger deal than obviously the whole, well, Joe Burrow won't be sacked 70 times again. It showed Joe Burrow this team is invested in him. And he's going to be coming up on a contract extension in the next couple of years that the Bengals will obviously have to plan for. But if the Bengals didn't show the type of priority that they did in making sure Burrow had a better offensive line, who knows if Burrow would have wanted to stay in Cincinnati. Think about it like this with Tom Brady. Tom Brady was known for always having a good offensive line. Tom Brady never got touched. He's always been one of the least sacked quarterbacks in the NFL. If Tom Brady doesn't think you're good enough on the offensive line, he makes it known. The Bengals investing in the offensive line this year is going to go a long way, in my opinion, for them with Burrow, because in Burrow's third year, he's going to be entering this season with the Bengals with the best offensive line he's had in his career, and he was able to get this franchise to a place that they hadn't been in a long time with a very subpar offensive line. Can you imagine what he's going to be able to do with a very talented offensive line now that he has? I think it's huge for keeping Burrow and happy in Cincinnati and wanting him to be there, and for next year, because as we've seen in free agency with all the quarterback changes, with Russell Wilson headed to Denver, with Devontae Adams headed to the Raiders, there's just been so much change in the AFC, obviously, with Justin Herbert and the Chargers returning, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, the Bills with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. The AFC is loaded, and it is going to be a gauntlet to get through. And if you want to come out on the other end of it and be the AFC champion again, the Bengals were going to need a much better offensive line, and they did everything they could to solve it. The only question mark for this offensive line, and we'll try and figure this out this offseason when OTAs begin, is who is going to be the starting left guard. But to be in a position where that's your only question, as opposed to who is going to be at right guard, who's going to be at right tackle, is a nice problem to have if you're Zach Taylor. Here are a couple of options that the Bengals could do at left guard. They need to give Jackson Carmen a chance to prove that he was worth that second round pick that the Bengals spent on him last year. The Bengals made it known to Carmen that they need to see more consistency from him. When talking to Zach Taylor, Brian Callahan, Frank Pollock, the biggest comments about Carmen when asked what does he need to do to be a starter here is they needed to see more consistency. That also, I think, in based off of a conversation we had with Frank Pollock at the Combine, they want to see Carmen in better shape. Basically, just overall professionalism from Carmen needs to be different in year two. So they're going to give him every chance, because he's a second round pick, to win that starting left guard job. If he is unable to do that, the Bengals could potentially move Deontay Smith, a player that they really like that they also drafted last year there, or they could re-sign a guy like Quentin Spain on a team-friendly deal if he doesn't get picked up by another team, or they could also draft a player and if he's available at pick number 31 for the Bengals and he's a solid top player for them on the offensive line, that could be an option. The Bengals have so many options at left guard, and it's such a better position to be in than they were last year. And outside of that, pretty much the only holes that you think that this team has is who's going to be the starting cornerback outside of Chidobe Awuzie. They re-signed Eli Apple late last week, so that right now is the etched-in starter. But they could also draft a cornerback in the first or second round next year and have him compete with Apple. The best thing I can say about what I think the Bengals have done in free agency is they've improved in talent-wise on the offensive line, and they secured depth-type pieces at other positions like an Eli Apple. So even if he is beaten out for his spot, the Bengals, you always need three cornerbacks simply because of injuries. You need three cornerbacks who can all start. And no matter what happens, the Bengals bringing back Eli Apple on a one-year deal is a really smart deal done by Duke Tobin and his staff, because Apple knows the scheme and he could be a good security blanket if not the actual starter come week one. But we've got a lot of time before we get into the whole week one, who's starting, depth chart stuff. But the first wave of free agency is done. We'll hopefully get to talk to Lyle Collins. We got a chance to meet with Alex Kappa and Ted Karras, and in just one meeting, it was very obvious why Frank Pollock and Zach Taylor wanted these guys. These guys are no-nonsense football type of guys. As Frank Pollock said, they're glass eaters. They're huge. All they want to do is play football. They're not about some of the other things that sometimes people end up wanting, social media and all that. They just want to play football. And the big thing that from my conversations with some people within the building that they liked is that they have Super Bowl pedigree. They've blocked for Tom Brady. Karras did in New England and Kappa did in Tampa. They know what it takes to win in the postseason. They know what it takes to keep their bodies healthy. They view these two guys who are also, all of these acquisitions are under the age of 30. So the Bengals aren't out there spending money on players who have trouble staying healthy and are past their peak. You can say that Collins, he has not been able to stay on the field, but that's for a couple of different reasons. Just a quick note about Collins. Collins has missed 21 of 33 games due to injury or his suspension. He didn't even play in one game during the 2020 season because of hip surgery. So there are some questions about Collins and his ability to be able to play a full season for the Bengals, but they're willing to take that chance. Last year, Collins served a suspension for violating the NFL's substance abuse policy, and that was a big reason why he wasn't on the field. But when he was on the field, he was really good. He was, he fits the scheme that the Bengals want to run. The Cowboys run a similar offensive wide zone scheme that Collins will jump in and be very familiar with. So the big question there with Collins is he going to be able to stay on the field and be that bookend starter for all 17 games next season? So we will see if all that works out. But on paper, you have to love what the Bengals did to address their biggest weakness. Well, that's it. As I mentioned, just a short episode to make sure I got you guys all caught up on the Bengals' biggest news after the first wave of free agency. We have some fun conversations in store with some potential guests here over the next couple of weeks, so be sure to check back every week for a new episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast.